Hey, you. Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in a More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. It's right there on the right, stupid.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio. The Nerd Hour.
Tattoos and touchdowns.
Best selling show.
You're listening to the shoot.
Trust us, we're hot.
Masters of none.
360 on 420.
Welcome to the Cut Print Film Podcast.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
OSW Review.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by volume.
My time now.
It's time for Dutch and Royce.
No! Welcome to Rage Quit Radio.
Get ready for Hippo Juice.
Time for the rage.
The Elvis and Albert Show.
The Cousin Joe Show.
Radio Meltdown.
It's High Society Radio.
It's all about me with Halls and Rorschach.
Shy kids.
Daddy Warpus.
Orange Room.
More Life Radio!
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Obviously, it was... Oh, never mind. I'm not going to explain it, but...
No, explain radio to Ashley.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Would you mind taking Colin for a walk about 8?
Just 2,000 hours. Oh, yeah.
Now here's your host, that's Ashley, and this is...
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to a slightly painful Antisocial Game Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. Had a shower earlier. I sort of went to dry my hair and I sort of pulled my neck and now it's a bit stiff. And not in a good way. Welcome to the show. Brand new episode of Antisocial Game Radio, live on, morelikeradio.com. So if you want to join in the chat, we go live at 9 o'clock UK time, which is, I think, 4 p.m. Eastern. If you do have time, get yourself in there. I've been playing a few things this week. I'm just trying to think. It's like Destiny's 1 week away. I can't wait to talk about that when I eventually get around to playing it. I have been playing various other things. I'll go straight into it, basically. I downloaded the NHL 15 demo. Onto my PlayStation 4, and I played that several times, and that game is awesome. I'm not the biggest, when it comes to sports, I don't really watch stuff. I'm more of a sort of armchair United supporter. I played a couple of games of NHL. Very, very fun, really good, and I can't wait. For the real game to come out. I think it's like a few weeks away. Going to pick that up. It's going to be great. Yeah, so it's very, you know, it's this demo. You get like two teams. You get the New York Rangers and the LA something or others. It's their ice hockey team. They just, you know, can only have one. But yeah, literally just scoring goal after goal after goal. Great fun. Just really, 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 really fun. I just can't wait to play the proper game when it comes out. Something I did talk to you that I was going to play this this week, and I have. I played the PT demo, the Silent Hills, was it playable teaser? Very boring. But that's the only negative I have. Very boring because you're just going around an L-shaped hallway again and again and again and again. But it is very scary. And, you know, this is, you know, and I've said on the show several times, I want to be scared. I was fucking scared. And it was awesome. I mean, because I listened to Katie from Talk Radio Meltdown, who you all should listen to as well, if you don't already, that is. Basically, she said, you know, turn the lights off, close all the doors, windows, shut the blinds, play completely in the dark. So I did. Yeah, very fucking scary, but it was very cool. And literally, I can't wait for the game to come out if it's going to be like this. I did have a wonder, though, when I was sort of, you know, trying to rip my neck off. This is done by Konami, by Hideo Kojima. How much of the game is going to be cutscene? I mean, you know, I'm a big Metal Gear Solid fan, and, you know, I get worried sometimes when, you know, his games come out, you know, basically because, you know, most of them are cutscene, it's more game than cutscene. Is this just him making a horror movie, but with some gameplay elements into it? I worry about that. I hope not. I hope it's more game than... You know, more game than what do you call it? Than a movie, which I mean, just the demo is awesome. It's very, very scary. But yeah, I mean, it's a very simple thing. Yeah, it's basically you wake up on the floor and you just sort of walk into this hallway, and you hear music, and then you're basically just sort of going through the door at the end of the hallway, but you've got to do little puzzles and stuff. I mean, it's very, very scary bit. I mean, there's a bit where the door opens a crack and you hear some sort of crying or whatever, and then you have to go and look at it, and then you zoom in, and there's like a person there who's like, you just pops out and then, you know, shuts the door. That scared the shit out of me. I do love the jump scares. They are, you know, the best kind of scares. But yeah, then there was like, I went around another couple of times, and I had to find these six puzzle pieces, which I didn't do the first time because I didn't know about it. They got attacked by this monster. Which scared the shit out of me again. But yeah, it's just literally scarier, scarier, and scarier. But I did grab a guide because I'm like, yeah, I just want to get this done. I know what it's for, the game. You know, I know it's for Silent Hills because everyone said, yeah, once they finish it, yeah, Silent Hills. But yeah, just playing it was really, really fun and very, 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 very enjoyable. But I mean, I was very, very scared, and it's the good scary stuff. It's, you know, it's not the... I mean, I was literally sort of sitting on my sofa playing the game. I was looking away... I can't do it now because I'm going to fucking hurt my neck. I was looking away from the TV while holding the controller outside. Okay, just move forward while I'm not looking at the screen. It was that. It was like, I don't want to be scared, but just don't want to do what's, you know... And it was like, it was really, really good. But yeah, this game is going to be amazing when it comes out. I wonder if it's going to be in first person as well. I mean, I didn't finish the demo because... Say it was boring, and I was like, I know what you're trying to do with the whole you know, there was the bit where you see like a person, like the creature, sort of standing in the hallway, and you sort of have to walk towards it, and then it gets dark, and then you just walk past whatever, and there's nothing there. And then when the there's like a fridge hanging from the ceiling, the whole hallway is in red, and there's like hello written on the wall, and you know, that sort of stuff. I know that, it's just. I just wanted to finish it and get it done. I was like, yeah, you just don't need to keep doing this. It's so boring. Just, you know, just give me something, you know, whatever, or I don't know, really. But yeah, it was nice for what it was. Just very boring, and I couldn't be asked to finish it. I got, like 9 times I went around that same hallway doing puzzles and stuff like this, following this guide that I found on the internet. I'm like, yeah, I'm just tired of this shit. Just give me the fucking game. And it scared the hell out of me. I'll be happy. But yeah, I mean, the PT... If you've got PlayStation 4, download it. It's really worth it, and it will scare the shit out of you. Which is good, because I've been hearing, you know, all the stuff going across the internet saying that, you know, this is the first true horror game that we're going to get in. That we're going to be getting. There's other stuff I've been, been hearing about. I just forgot what was going. I was just thinking about I've been thinking about that. How this will stack up against the remastered Resident Evil. Probably won't. I mean, this is probably going to be the top dog when it comes against the new Resident Evil remake. But this is going to be awesome. It really is, and I can't wait to play it and let it scare the shit out of me. I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to happen. I mean, was it Tokyo Game Show? I think is this week or next week. It's very soon. I know that. We just had PAX this past weekend. I've got some bits and pieces that came out of PAX. Loads of other stuff. I've got plenty to talk about today. Final thing I have been playing, as it turned up on my doorstep last Friday, was Metro Redux, the Metro 2033 and Metro Last Light games, all on one disc. Sort of given the remastered, make it look pretty thing. It was a bit weird to see at first, because I'm a big fan of these games. I only beat Last Light once. I beat Metro 2033 several times. But yeah, it's just a really, really fun experience to play these games again. But I did get sort of slight feeling. It's like, it's nice that I'm playing this, but I'm sort of bored of the remastered versions that we're getting. I mean, I'm sort of wondering now whether I should actually bother picking up The Last of Us, the remastered version. I mean, I already got the Tomb Raider one, and I mean, the Grand Theft Auto one I'm definitely getting because it's Grand Theft Auto, and I really want to do all the shame shit I did before I want to do again, because I actually did try and do a second playthrough of Grand Theft Auto, but then my Xbox took a shit, basically. I'm looking forward to playing it again when it does come out with all the DLC and bits and pieces and stuff. I'm not sure if I'll bother too much into the multiplayer, but the single player I want to go through again, and, you know, with the new graphics and stuff like that. There's tons of stuff for me to do, and yeah, it should be so much fun. So going back to what I said about Metro, it is really good. The gameplay is just as good as it was before. I think they've added bits and pieces. I mean, I know they've sort of... they tweak the graphics and stuff. And some of the play, I mean, when I first started playing it, the character models looked a bit plasticky, sort of shiny, plasticky sort of looking. But it was really good. I mean, it has the same feel. I mean, I'm having tons of fun with it. I've set myself up the way I know best to. I mean, I've got like the handgun you get, I've got that with a silencer on it, so I can sort of take out enemies randomly. I've got like the best machine. I had the best machine gun. It was basically the AK-47. I think is what it's based off on. But then I've got the bastard gun as well at the moment, which I picked up, and it had like a silencer and a scope, and it was literally just decked out. So I just grabbed it. I've also got the six barrel shotgun. The pump action shotgun. You can just sort of just fire off at will, because you just add shells and shells and shells, and it just sort of pumps them out. That's pretty much decked out as I possibly can get. I'm just trying to think. Yeah, that's pretty much. I've got tons of like sort of coinage, bullets, that sort of stuff. So I've got all my knives and my grenades, and I'm fully equipped to, take on the hordes of monsters and Nazis and communists that the Metro has to offer. It is really fun, and I'm trying to do everything perfectly, because I'm sort of trying to be a bit of a perfectionist in everything I play. There's several areas where I'd go through, and there'd be sort of enemy hideouts, like stronghold sort of things that you'd encounter. I mean, the first one is basically, I think you're with Bourbon, and there's like eight or nine sort of guards in this little tunnel, and then I'm sort of strategically taking each one out and then trying to grab the attention of other ones. It just sort of doing that, I took that out fine. And then there's other place filled with Nazis and communists, and sort of trying to take them out without, causing alarm and getting shot at, trying to be as stealthy and sneaky as possible. And it is really, really fun. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, Destiny comes out next Tuesday, so literally I've got to hurry up and finish Metro 2033, and then hurry up and get through Metro Last Light. But I say I'm off on next week from work, so I'm on holiday. So Metro, Destiny doesn't come out till Tuesday, so no doubt this weekend it will be finishing off 2033 and then making my way through Last Light, which is a really awesome game as well. And to us, everyone, I recommend to you, pick up Metro Redux. It's a really good game. If you pick it up on your Xbox One or your PlayStation 4, it's very good. I mean, if you do like the game enough, once you've played it, go and buy the book. Go and buy Metro 2033. I haven't read 2034. I think 2035 is out as well, which is based on Last Light. Something like that. I don't know. But go and pick up Metro 2033. It's a really good book. But yeah, pick up the game as well. It's very... The characters are great. And it does give you... You do get a sort of claustrophobic feeling while you're playing this game because of how atmospheric it is. I mean, that's why I like the game so much, and I've played it so many times, and I've had so many different copies of the games now. I have the remastered one, which I'll, you know, keep forever and ever. But yeah, it is a really good game, and I recommend it to everyone. You know, it's worth a play. But yeah, that's basically what I've been playing. But so if you do want to get in touch with the show and tell me what you've been playing, you can email me. It's antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. If you want to join our Facebook group and post it there, tons of articles and topics and bits and pieces that I like to talk about and post information on. So that way it gives me you know, something to talk about for the following week's show. No idea what I'm talking about next week, but no doubt, it's still literally, I'm just doing the show tonight. No doubt next couple of days I'll think of something and I'll post it in there. And you basically can do that by joining our group, which is facebook.com/groups/MLRGamerLobby. Also, you can like the show's Facebook page, which is facebook.com/antisocialgamerradio. And also, you can follow us on Twitter. I'll follow you back because I like to be nice like that to the listeners. Go to at MLRGamerRadio. Don't forget, you know, if you want to know about all the rest of the shows on the station, go to morelikeradio.com. All the information's up there. All the information I've just given you, it's all up there. All you've got to do is interact. Oh, iTunes, 5-star reviews, please. You know, and let me know that you've reviewed us, and I'll read it out on the show. But yeah, I'll go into this article that I found. I did something like this last week, and now I've got this one. It's like, this is from Games Radar. It says, "What is the future of first-person shooters?" There's a lot of... I mean, it's that time of the year, people. We're getting all the first-person shooters come out. I mean, I picked up Metro last week. I've got Destiny coming out next week, which I can't wait for because... Well, fuck it, I booked the week off work, so I can literally sit here and play basically, you know, space first-person shooter that's not Halo but actually good for a whole week. But yeah, it's going to be... Destiny's going to be really good. And, you know, I saw this article and I thought, as we're getting, you know, it's that time of the year, you know, it's September now, we're going to get, you know, Call of Duties, Battlefields, you know, and the first-person shooter genre is the main... It is the main game that... It is the main game genre that people play. It is the focal point of what sells. You know, you didn't hear about, Barbie Horse Adventures or Vivian Pamatiata breaking sales records across the world. It's stuff like Call of Duty. That's what's breaking the records. It's first-person shooter. It's the popular thing to play that everyone's playing. But yeah, I saw this article and I thought I'd have a read. I'll start from the beginning. At this moment in time, first-person shooters are gaming. I don't think it's an unreasonable sweeping statement. Call of Duty's Titanfall, Halo, Bioshock, Destiny, Borderlands. You could dress up the action in whatever environment, period, or graphical style you like. But the core experience of seeing through the eyes of a gun-toting badass and shooting dudes in the face is fundamentally the same and instantly recognisable. Yeah, this is something I was hoping that they would touch on, the fact that pretty much, yes, all first person shooters are pretty much the same. It's literally, you have a gun, it's in first person, and you shoot the motherfucker coming at you, basically. And, you know, how it differentiates between each one is the environment, the period, graphical style. That's it, really, what they're saying here. But yeah, that's what something I'd hope to talk about as I read this article. Where was it? Yeah. It's easily been the most popular style of game for the past five years. I'd say 10 years, considering the fact, was it 2000, last week I said 2007, Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare? Yeah. I mean, it's 2014 now, nearly 10 years. It has to be longer than that. You think about stuff like, you know, the original Call of Duty games, 1, 2, Big Red One, whatever the fuck that was. I don't play it. I think it was on PC, I think. Medal of Honor. Yeah, Medal of Honor before Call of Duty, and then Medal of Honor went shit after, was it Empire of the Sun? Rising Sun? The one set in Japan and stuff like that was terrible. But yeah, it is the main game that people play. I mean, so many good first-person shooters that I played over the years and so many shit ones, especially that World War II one. I can't fucking remember what it was called. Where was I? Yeah. But I'll tell you right now, its popularity won't last forever. Not unless it's... Not unless it changes to stay fresh and relevant. Something which I also agree with, because not the actual genre itself, but the games that we are getting out that are encompassed by that genre. Call of Duty, Halo, same old shit. It's just repackaged crap, That's why I'm looking forward to Destiny, because it's done by the people who do Halo, but they're not making Halo. They're doing something else and changing their mind and, taking what they know and twisting it around like you had with BioWare. They did, the original Knights of the Old Republic, the good one, and then they went to do Mass Effect and took what they learned from that, from Knights of the Old Republic, and put it into Mass Effect, Oh, here we go, yeah. Yeah, don't believe me. Look at the Star Wars-inspired space shooters of the 1980s, the platformers of early 1990s, the racing games of mid-90s, and rhythm action titles of the noughties. Yeah, nobody likes to play rhythm titles anymore. They died because pretty much all the companies just sort of took a massive shit on all of them. Where was I? Yep, here we go. Yep, they were everywhere, but where are they now? Sure, they are still occasional great games in those genres, like Rezogun, which I do really want to play. Link, which I'm not too sure what that is, and Grid Autosport, and the Final Fantasy rhythm music game, Theatrim, I think that's what it's called. But they no longer control the industry like they once did. Even the open world GTA clone sandbox games has started to decline. Yeah, that's because, there never really was that many GTA open world stuff. I mean, there was a few, but with the way that the actual industry went, the fact that Crackdown sort of died out, but now we're supposed to get a new one. Saints Row is not even really open world as what it was. I mean, it's still open world, but it's not the whole GTA clone that it was originally seen as. But now it's become its own entity of, basically, we have all the fun that GTA used to have, but not anymore. But I'll carry on reading. So while I was at Gamescom recently, I was looking for signs of change, if not an entirely new line of evolution, then at least a different approach to first-person design. First-person shooter design. And I have to say, fresh ideas are thin on the ground. Well, no shit, because nobody knows what to do, which is why this year we're getting Call of Duty. We're getting, I'm not focused on first-person shooters, but I'm thinking of, decline of anything imaginative or real or, we're getting another Assassin's Creed. We're getting two Assassin's Creed. We're getting Assassin's Creed Unity and Rogue, which I have no interest in Rogue, even as a massive Assassin's Creed fan like I am. Assassin's Creed, Call of Duty, Battlefield, just sequel after sequel after sequel. I mean, we're getting a new Batman game, which is going to be the last one from Rocksteady, which is a shame, to be honest. But as well as that, we're getting remastered versions, so they're sort of rinse and repeating the stuff that's already been out, but just putting a nice fresh spin on it. It's tricky. It is tricky trying to make something new. But I mean, I heard an interview once about some guy went up to one of the developers and said, "Yeah, I've got these ideas and such and such." And he said, "Well, so have I. I've got all these ideas as well." And it's like, well, where the fuck are these ideas? Where's our new games? Where's our new, that's what I said with the beginning when I started reading this article. It's like, it's nice that you want, as he says, it has an environmental. Hang on one second. Let me go back to where I was. Sorry, I'm not scrolling that far enough. Yeah, so it's dress up the action in whatever environment, period, graphical style you like. But the core experience of seeing through the eyes, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, it's basically, you can have the same game. You can make it whatever you want it. You can have the same basic concept, first-person shooter. Yeah, that's cool. Okay, where are you going to set it? Future, past, present. Then you just go from there. Racing games, we're going to have racing games, sort of where you're going to set it, how different tracks, that sort of stuff. And it's all pretty much the same. It's literally you driving a car going around the same fucking chicanes and S-bends and yeah, fucking driving shit. But yeah, I'll carry on reading because this is actually a good article. I actually like it, believe it or not. The most reliable source of future predictions is to see what's happening in the most influential series of present. So it's important to note that this is a year of considerable change for Call of Duty. Despite Advanced Warfare's slightly tricksy methods of keeping people playing, it will offer the biggest shake-up in terms of core gameplay experience since Call of Duty 4 back in 2007. The near future, scientifically plausible exosuits' advanced maneuverability opens up new verticality in the levels. Yes, that's nice. But we got that from Titanfall. I know JJ Stone is definitely agreeing with me on that point. It's kind of weird. It's not really, Advanced Warfare copy Titanfall, but that's the thing. We want that more. I was saying about co-op stuff. We want to do more stuff together, and how they've seen it with the advancements we've gotten in multiplayer maps. It's like, yep, you've got the whole place you can run around, but now maps are changing. They're advanced. They're evolving. You can blow up a petrol station, and it shakes the map. Or there's a building collapses in like Battlefield, and it wrecks the whole map, and it changes everything. Changes the verticality. It's like, yeah, we want to be able to sort of climb over buildings. And I mean, I've seen tons of glitch videos of, Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare, it was one of the desert levels where it was like a building in the middle and there was like construction going on and that sort of stuff. There was like people sort of walking along the side. One of the market levels as well, there was people sort of on the side of the buildings, so sort of on top of the roofs where they shouldn't be, sniping at people. And it's just, we want to be able to traverse the levels now. We want to be able to do more when in the levels. The whole parkour element has really taken effect with Mass Effect, Assassin's Creed, Mirror's Edge, Sunset Overdrive, that new one from, I think that's on the Xbox, that sort of, Sunny Delight one. But yeah, what the fuck's it called? Basically Dead Island, but not Dead Island. Shit. Fuck it. I can't remember. It was a zombie one, basically. It's I don't know. You know what I'm talking about. It's a zombie one where at night time all the zombies get tougher, and it's done by I can't fucking think what it's called. But yeah, I've talked about it many times on the show, and it does it really good. But yeah, they want more ways to sort of change a level and get around the level and stuff like that. That's what changes it up, but even as many changes as we're going to get. I like to go back to my previous discussion about consoles and how they're changing with the graphics and stuff like this. It's nice that we're going to get, consoles will evolve and we'll get higher and better, better chipsets, processors, graphics, stuff, and it will look pretty great. But there's only a limit to where how we can take it. And when it comes to games in general, let alone first-person shooters, there's a limit on how far you can push what you're basically doing. There's only so far you can go driving, there's only so far you can go shooting, and the sports games have hit that fucking wall many a time. The best they can do is open up new graphics. This current console generation, I'm only really going to need that one ice hockey game, one football game, one golf game, because there's no real need for anything else, really. It's just, as I say, vote with your wallet. If you want to, show developers and publishers that what I'm saying is true and that you all feel the same, then basically go out there and buy the one and only game that you feel like you want to buy. I mean, that's the thing. I didn't buy Call of Duty Ghosts. I don't think I'll buy Advanced Warfare because it doesn't really interest me. I mean, I like Kevin Spacey. But I'm just not the biggest House of Cards fan like everyone else seems to be. It just seems so dull and boring. I'm not much very political either. It does look fun, but I just have no interest at the moment, and if I do want to play it, I'll just borrow it off me mate. I'll carry on reading. This in turn means the possibility for the introduction of large-scale environmental hazards like a tsunami, which I am seeing in the Advanced Warfare one. I think that's what, yeah. There's basically a big tsunami and you sort of have to get to certain places. The tsunami is a fantastic idea because the match takes part as usual, but then everyone has to get to higher ground or get killed by the impact. It looks like you'll only know it's coming by physically looking at the environment, at the arriving swell and judging at its distance and its distance and approach speed. Could similar environmental hazards be the way forward for Call of Duty? I asked Mike Magia, producer at Sledgehammer Games, and he told me we wanted to do that for a map where it makes sense. You're near the Golden Gate Bridge. You're near water. It makes sense to do that there. We wouldn't want to shoehorn it in. And yeah, that makes sense. But to be honest, I don't really agree with environmental hazards. I mean, I agree with them. Yes, I mean, I do. But I mean, just making a map that has environmental hazards doesn't seem like much of an incentive. I mean, I think with Gears of War had that as well. I think it was Gears of War 2 or 3 where it had the because you know after the light bomb there was lambent locusts, and there was like piles of this gooey stuff that would, I think, kill you or something. And there were several maps where that was taken into effect, and you'd have to sort of outrun it and keep playing and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, something that's done before that's taken off as well, I believe. But yeah, I don't think there should be, maps focused on, I mean, what, we're going to have one set on a mountain with like lava flowing down it. Yes, it does add something new and it will probably look really pretty, in fact, with the whole new consoles that we have these days. But it shouldn't be the focus of, I mean, I don't know, I'm thinking now. Should it be the challenge that the developers are putting on the gamer? And should that also challenge us to be better at what we're doing on each map and to know the maps better? I mean, it's just something new to know the maps better with. I mean, you have all these professional, I'm sort of doing air quotes, gaming teams out there who play Call of Duty and Battlefield, and they like to sort of mix things up and, you know the new maps when they come in. They sort of sit there and play them for hours and hours. That's why I don't like this sort of stuff, because all these professional teams, what you're doing is a job, it's work. There's fun and there's, doing what they do, which doesn't seem like fun to me, it just seems boring. But yeah, I'll carry on reading. At the end of the day, when you do that, you're not focused on the gameplay of the map itself. But when you look at the maps like Biolab, they're all sectional pieces of the laboratory. It's all being shifted around. So we thought, what if it's all actually being moved? So a crane comes in and drops in a new room. So suddenly there's a new room in the map. Another clever idea, and one that's literally augments the experience. It's also a great leveler. You can't learn a map's layout and camp around bottlenecks if the layout is always changing. I do get the impression that Advanced Warfare's overhaul has been brought on by a need for change to avoid stagnation, but not many other first-person shooter titles are following its lead. Well, I mean, Battlefield 4, that had a bunch of, map-changing elements. The building collapsing was one of them. It all depends on how you play a map and how the map's supposed to be played. I was talking to a guy at work about this. It was like with, Call of Duty 4. The train yard, I think it was a train yard level, where there's basically like a train, is like a house at the bottom. You start on one side, there's like a cliff, it's a small cliff, but it's like a verge and there's like grass on it. You can sort of snipe. And then there was like an underground bit in one of the levels where you could sort of go underneath the building, and then you can go into the building and rafters and stuff. Yeah, one of those, man. I can't remember what the fuck it was called. Stuff like that is nice, and it's nice to have levels where you can play on, where the levels are designed to play with anything. With, say that level was, you could be a sniper, you could, be sort of close combat, you could have like pistols or machine guns, or, there's big open areas and, sort of levels you can have fun with, and that's basically what you want. And I really, to be honest, I'm sort of tangenting slightly. I really do feel that all these professional teams and stuff are taking away, are taking the fun away from just sitting down and having some fun with your mates. I mean, say Destiny's out next week. I know me, Royce and Sean and probably Punchy as well and several of my other people that I know who have PlayStation 4s, we'll all be sitting down and playing this. We're just going to have fun. It's not, you know, we're not looking for a job at doing this. We just sit down, have some fun, enjoy ourselves. It's, you know, it's a fun experience. That's pretty much what it is. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'll carry on reading now. I've still got plenty more of this article to read. Aside from Call of Duty's commendable shake-up of the series' overly familiar experience, other individual games didn't seem to offer much new at all. Obviously, the Master Chief Collection can only be improved aesthetically as it's an authentic remaster of old-school classics. But Borderlands, the pre-sequel's reduced gravity gimmick doesn't slightly alter the experience. It's just a great game anyway. Yeah, I'd say Borderlands, the pre-sequel, does look like a really fun game. I'm not sure if I'll bother picking it up. I might. I don't know. It's early days, and there's some stuff I want to play. I mean, there's a great bunch of characters, some stories, like whole packs of DLC that we're supposed to be getting for this. So it's, you know, if you want more Borderlands fun, pick it up. I recommend it. But I'm not that fussed about Borderlands at the moment. I want something that's new and something that's set after what happened in Borderlands 2, not something that's basically between 1 and 2. Because, you know, I want to know more of the story that's happened afterwards. I don't really want the in-between stuff. If they wanted the in-between stuff, they should have just, I don't know, made Borderlands 2, Borderlands 3, or just had this one. Yeah, it's a great game anyway. Likewise, even Evolve, which seems to pride itself on trying something different, isn't massively removed from the gameplay of Left 4 Dead, which is something which I like, that it's like Left 4 Dead, because I never really got into Left 4 Dead. But it's something like it. Perhaps the only other game to try something radically different is Titanfall. You could argue that Titan piloting is just an overpowered version of a regular first-person shooter gameplay, with the added glee that comes from stepping on tiny, insignificant people. But the non-Titan gameplay is all about the effortless environmental traversal. Exactly what I said earlier. The freedom of movement really is a new direction for first-person shooters, and with the gaming world adopting Assassin's Creed ease of climbing, which is what I said as well, that is something that will likely be seen in plenty more first-person shooter titles going forward. Exactly, that's what I'd like to see. The whole, you know, we're on the cusp of a brand new console generation. We have the PlayStation 4, we have the Xbox One, the new power systems of this current age that will be here for 10, 15 years, and we need to push, I mean, not we specifically, but I mean the developers and publishers, the developers need to push their ideas and what they want us to, what they want us to experience, how they want us to play their games, you know, how they want their games played, how they want us to get across one level to another, and say it's all up to them. I mean, just, the sky's the limit, but it only goes as far as their imagination can hold, can happen. But I don't know. I'll carry on reading. Where was I? Yep. Oh, here we go. Yep. But perhaps even the most bog standard corridor shooter could be made to feel completely new with the Oculus Rift or Project Morpheus. Aside from racing games, which arguably best fit the sit down, look around an amazing world. Which Falls has done for me several times, and Gran Turismo back in the day as well. Using a VR headset in your home, first-person shooter games are most likely to be given a new lease of life when virtual reality becomes an actual reality. Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, yes, I know. I think it's very sweet that you've got your hopes up for the Oculus Rift and Project Morpheus and involving it with first-person shooters. But, you know, I'm just literally, I've got one of my favourite movies, Hackers. The bit where the bad guys, I think he's wearing a virtual boy and he's sort of shooting stuff and that woman comes in. That's pretty much what it's going to be like in the future. Pretty much. It's, you know, us wearing a helmet, of some sort with some sort of controller in your hand, shooting at people like that. Maybe it'll work. I don't know. I mean, I'm skeptical. I'll tell you that. I'm damn skeptical. But I'm waiting to say the proof is in the pudding, and I want to see some pudding. Because, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing... I mean, because I'm not even sure the Oculus Rift will work with my... Because, I mean, I wear glasses, and... I mean, I went to the cinema with the Hammy back a few weeks ago and saw a 3D movie, and that was okay. So maybe the Oculus Rift might work. I don't know. Wait and see. But, I mean, there are some games... I'm saying, it's about the immersion as well. I mean, there are some games that I feel very immersed in. You know, if I find, like, a decent role-play game, RPG... I think about stuff like Final Fantasy VII, like the very when you first get to Midgar, that was very. I was very immersed in that city, in that world. I wanted to explore the city and go to different places and see different things. It's very immersive. Metro Last Light and Metro 2033 as well, both very immersive games. It's all about how well you. I mean, with the immersion, it's pretty much. I know I'm sort of tangent again, but it's like it's how you feel when. You're playing the game. It's like how well you adapt to the characters, the environment, and you know how well you feel that the developers have brought you in to the game. That you feel part of what's going on. Where was I? Yep. First person games are most likely to be given a new lease. I read that bit. Sorry, but yeah, I mean, if it does help with the immersion and all this sort of stuff, the Oculus Rift and Project Morpheus. Then all power to it, but I'm still skeptical until, I don't know, I see some stuff. I mean, we're still getting, you know, bits and pieces, but we'll wait and see. I'll carry on reading this article. I think I'm not halfway through it. The whole point of the first-person viewpoint is to make you feel like you're in the game. Fundamentally, the act of shooting something or someone works significantly... works identically in third person. But yeah, it's not... Really, I mean, I get more of a immersive feel when I'm playing a first-person shooter game than a third-person shooter. Unless it goes... I mean, I was just thinking now about... what the hell was that game called? Sniper Elite, there we go. Because I played Sniper Elite V2, and, you know, the bit we're using a sniper rifle, I sort of felt immersed because it was literally just me looking through the barrel of a sniper rifle. The scope of a sniper rifle. But yeah, this is... but there's a reason most people play Quake or even Skyrim in first person. Gamers want to feel like they're there. I mean, who plays fucking Skyrim in third person? It's nice that you can, but it just feels so clunky and awkward. I mean, I actually did bits of the game in third person to see what it was like. Yeah, it doesn't animate well. It doesn't transition well. That's a game that's supposed to be played in first person. And that massive gun bobbing around in front of you like you're holding it is pure fantasy. Yes, escapism is, if you like. First person works for me because I want to hold the gun, not control some guy who's holding the gun. In VR, that's actually the feeling of actually holding the gun is amplified. Not really. I mean, it has to be on your senses and your eyes and stuff because, you know, you're holding something in your hand. And which was most of the time when we're playing games these days, I mean... I know all the listeners will agree. When you're playing something and you're shooting something, you don't really feel the controller. I mean, if you get so adjusted to adjusted to controller and what it's about and that sort of stuff, you don't notice that you're holding controller. You're just basically pushing buttons. But even that becomes, you know, I mean, how many times do people look down when they're pushing the buttons? They're just sort of doing what comes naturally because they've played the game so often. Where was that? Because with the aid of a camera tracking your movements, you can move your real head and get a closer look at it. Of course, that we need VR gloves that actually work to... I love that. Of course, we need VR gloves that actually work to fully realise the vision. No, why don't you just put a gun in your own hand and then just shove it in your mouth and pull the trigger? So, yeah, if I wanted to feel the real feel of a gun, I'd go to Mitch's house. The first time, carry on reading. The first time I tried Oculus Rift, I was freaked out when I waved my hand in front of my face in what my eyes were telling me was a sufficiently lit room, and no hand appeared in front of me. The game had no way of knowing what my hands were doing. I don't think even Kinect 2.0 could provide sufficient clarity of movement. Clarity of movement recognition. Even if it were hooked up to a VR headset, we probably needed gloves with sensors. How else will it know that I'm actually gripping the chair with white knuckles of fear or falling out of it? Exactly. That's what I don't get as well. It's like, it's just a headset. You've got to be able to be doing what you've got to be doing. You know, I don't know. I mean, just, I have no. I'm skeptical about the whole Oculus Rift stuff. I think it's very, very overrated. I'll carry on. But if fall in development environment is the next step for first person shooters, the environment itself will suddenly take on a more importance, and that's probably where Destiny's advancements come in. Taking the first person shooter into MMO space is a way to forward the genre without really changing any of its core gameplay. There is a reason people call Destiny Halo the MMO, as it's a very familiar experience, just in a larger environment with random people running around, which, just, as I said, we've had with Fable. And it's a little surprise the PvP Crucible area plays a lot like the regular online shooter, because it's supposed to. Immediately taking away the sense of freedom the rest of the game works so hard to create in. That's why I'm sort of more interested in the actual game itself than more than PvP. I mean, I'm going to do PvP because they get the seals and crests and whatever it is that I need to collect to get myself better armor and stuff like that. But I'll do it until I can be asked, really. Yeah. And judging by the experience of suggested by the beta, the world itself, or universe, as it should probably say, still seems to offer just the usual objectives. Use of cover and headshots as every other shooter. The scale is just larger. How much left is in the cycle? Oh, I've nearly done. Lovely. Excellent. I do believe the first person shooter experience will need to become more details if it's going to feel truly new gen. The bones of contemporary shooters feel too similar to the lower poly versions we were playing in 2004. But 10 years, it's a long time for any one game type to go without a without changing significantly. But if the budget for bringing Halo's gameplay into the MMO space is indeed 0.5 billion, a Matrix level of freedom and detail in a game world is surely a pipe dream even now. Yeah, but you're going to need massive fucking servers and hard drives and all this sort of shit to do this sort of stuff. You know, you're creating a whole world. And, you know, I'm looking forward to see how that's sort of accomplished with Destiny. I mean, I know there's new planets that we can go to and explore and stuff like this, but even then, it's still a certain arena size that we can actually explore, because the download for this game is going to be immense. Super solid environmental changes and hazards, interesting new control opportunities like the exosuit in Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, and Titanfall's wall jumping, perhaps more physics shifting states like Borderlands, the pre-sequel, are the way forward in the meantime. But if online play and virtual reality aren't enough to save the genre on its own, I don't really see anything on the horizon, immediately or otherwise, that's going to save the bubble from bursting in the long run. Now, this is a very interesting last paragraph that I've just read. Now, when it comes to the first-person shooters, you can split it into two. You can split it into two camps. You've got the people who just want to play the story, and you've got people who just want to play the multiplayer. Both, you know, nothing wrong with either one. I'm not saying that. I mean, I know loads of people who you just buy Call of Duty just to play the multiplayer. I mean, I'm more of a story player. I mean, I get my ass handed to me often enough, so I play it, you know, sparingly. I know I did that with, I think it was just the first Black Ops and, was it World at War? Yeah. But yeah, so there's two camps that want. It depends on how you're looking at it. You've got to encompass both. You've got to make happy the people who just want to play the multiplayer, and you've got to make happy the people who want to play the single player. And Destiny, from what I'm hearing and what I've played, and stuff I know, basically, that game is pretty much that. That's the game. There's a whole bunch of single player stuff you can have fun with, and if you want to play a multiplayer, there's a whole bunch of multiplayer stuff you can enjoy as well. And you know, Titanfall, I think, is, from what I've been hearing, is a game that does that as well. I mean, even though it's not really single player, it's more sort of co-op, that sort of stuff. Co-op multiplayer, you know. versus stuff. But I just think, I know, I mean, they do need to step up what they're putting out, you know, gameplay-wise, game-wise, new IP-wise, a lot of stuff that needs to be taken into effect. I don't know. I mean, I'd like to see some changes happening in the next 2 or 3 years, but with the way we have now with Call of Duty, the fact that three studios are working on each game, Treyarch's working on their own Call of Duty, Infinity Ward's working on their own Call of Duty, and Sledgehammer's working on their own, you know, three separate studios, three separate games. But I just wonder that maybe, I don't know, I wonder about how it's going to evolve. Is it going to be better or is it going to be worse? I mean, the fact that we, as I said, with the music rhythm stuff, that pretty much just sort of buried itself into the ground because they sort of pushed it too hard. But we are now with the Call of Duty stuff, there's being pushed too hard. We year after year after year, we're getting game after game. It's the same shit. Nothing's changing. But as I said at the beginning of this article, the environment helps, changing the settings. I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff you can do. You know, you can change the time period, where it's a first-person shooter. But at the end of the day, you will still have those same building blocks of a first-person shooter. I mean, okay, it's going to be a sci-fi one. All right, what do we have the characters dressed like? What guns do they have? Lasers or phasers or plasma or whatever the hell it shoots futuristic-wise. And then you go back into the past, you know, World War II games, the machine guns, the Thompson and the M1. And, you know, there's only so many different sort of locations and stuff you can choose, but it's what you do with that location to help change how it works, which is why we have stuff like Titanfall, which is, you know, you could sort of run up and down buildings, which they're going to try with, they're doing with Call of Duty Advanced Warfare. But there's just so many different things that can happen, and to please both your single player only players and your multiplayer only players. That, you know, I mean, no doubt from Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, you are going to be able to do what you can in multiplayer, climb up buildings, that sort of stuff in the single player, because it's probably needed to for some sort of set piece explosion, you know, Michael Bay style, you know, bullshit stuff. But yeah, saving the genre. I mean, the genre has been around for a lot. I mean, he said, was it 5 years that it's been really that popular? It's been longer than that. I mean, I wonder how old this guy is as well, because probably really young anyway. But yeah, I mean, it's just, it's not really saving the genre. It's more how to keep it fresh. That's the only thing. I mean, if they don't focus on keeping it fresh, it will go stale and stagnant, and will just die by the wayside. And there'll be less and less games for it. Like he said about open world games. But the fact is that there's not enough open world games to begin with. Whereas, there isn't enough. It's just that they don't come out as often as, you know, your first person shooters does, because most of the games that are out there are some variation of first person shooter, third person shooter, that sort of stuff. You have your sports games. You've got, you know, one or two racing games for each console. Your sports, your EA, you know, sports games, that sort of stuff. Various bits and pieces, but it's a mess. It's a bit of a, you know. What happens here? What do we, you know, how do we better what we have done before? And that's pretty much it. Just trying to, you know, sort of better everything, pretty much. I don't know what more to say, to be honest. I mean, time will tell. I mean, just that's the whole thing. Time will tell. I mean, Destiny's next week. I'm going to have some fun with that. You know, because it comes out Tuesday, show's next Tuesday. I will tell you all about it. I'll be gushing over it for ages and ages. Maybe that is the future with Destiny. The whole making it more like an MMO, which, to be honest, I would love if more games become sort of MMOs, but the fact that I didn't have to pay 15 quid a month, because money's fucking tight. I'm trying to get to Florida. I need all the money I can get. Maybe taking stuff that's from the MMO field and putting it into, you know, the first-person shooter. Have it something like that. You can get, you know, take your classic RPG medieval, you know, okay, I've got this axe, it gives me plus two attack. Do something like that for first-person shooters. Maybe that make it better. But, I mean, I know we have, like, when it comes to multiplayer stuff, you have the leveling, the better guns, they have the stats, you know, that sort of stuff anyway. But I don't know. I say it's not up to me. It's up to the developers and stuff. Just trying to think how it would work, how we'd get something, some sort of change. But I don't think it's going to die out anytime soon. 10, 15 years from now, maybe, if we're up to, like, you know, Call of Duty 26, you know, I don't know. We'll wait and see. It's very, you know, I mean, I know there's literally a whole fucking load of guests in the chat. You know, guests in the chat, I know you're sitting there listening to me. Tell me some information. What do you think about the futures of first-person shooters? Do you reckon there's, you know, it's dying out with Call of Duty? Is that the one that's basically, you know, is Call of Duty basically just walking around some sort of, you know, redneck with a shotgun, you know, shooting Battlefield, shooting, you know, all the other first, you know, Halo, and, you know, is that, I mean, because Halo's okay because it doesn't really come out as often as, you know, the Call of Duty stuff does. Battlefield was going to try and do something like that, but it just sort of didn't because, I mean, the problems they had with Battlefield 4, it's like, yeah, just focus on it. When it's done, then put it out. But I don't know. It's tricky to tell. I mean, you know, you can't really see the future, so you basically have to go on sales and what people like doing. I mean, you know, when Ghost came out, as I think I said this a couple of weeks ago, people still went to play Black Ops 2 because they preferred Black Ops 2's multiplayer over, you know, over Ghosts, which is kind of sad, to be honest, but, you know, nobody wants to play the new hotness. But yeah, I mean, you know, Advanced Warfare comes out in a few months. We'll see what that's like. It's going to be interesting. It really will be. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing how well it does. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing the sales of Destiny, how well that's going to do. I mean, look, I've got mine pre-ordered, and that will be sent to me next week, and I can't wait. So there's no real first-person shooters on my list of stuff I'm after. I mean, I'm after a new Borderlands, but not the pre-sequel. I'll probably give that a miss, to be honest, because it's stuff I've already played. But even though the sequel to Borderlands will be the stuff I've already played, but it'll be more story. I mean, because as you listeners know, I'm a story person. I love a good story. But I don't know. We'll wait and see. But yeah, I do worry about the futures of every topic. First-person shooters, role-play games, sports games. I worry about it all because it's my job. It's, you know, I play computer games, same as you do, same as you listen. All the listeners who do listen to me right now, you all play computer games. And if we worry that certain genres, certain game types, certain everything will become put to the wayside, over manufactured, just, you know, flooded the market will be flooded with first person shooters and sports games and racing games. And I mean, it felt like that a little while ago, just like non-stop racing games. You had your Need for Speed, you got your, you know, Forzas and Grid, and yeah, just all of them, but they seem to be sort of taking a break as well. But I know I'm going to take a break. Nice little segue there, because basically I need a rest and I want to see if I can turn my neck. But yes, I will be back in about 8-9 minutes after these messages. I will see you soon. Take care, people.
And Ashley, you're from England, so we're not really sure what asshole number you would be. We just know it would be at least two extra numbers and one extra dash.
Yeah,
that's all we know for sure. Yeah. It's a sort of country code.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to have a go.
If you'd like to Skype in, it's Antisocial Gamer Radio. All one word.
More like radio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
Now I'm realizing that this is all gonna be on fucking podcast. Oh boy.
I told you. I was trying to warn you the whole time.
Dude, I don't care. I'm voluntarily Skyping into you. Use this to make a promo. I don't care. No, dude, like I said, my fiance doesn't listen. Dutch got drunk one night. Well, he gets drunk every night. But he got drunk one night, and I used it as a promo. Why not? Use this into a promo. I give everyone permission to turn this audio into a promo. I don't care.
He also used Drunk Me for a promo, too, if you remember.
Yeah, AJ, you play it every week.
I do. Folks at home, Radio Gold like this happens every Sunday and Thursday at midnight on 360 on 420, only on morelikeradio.com.
Hey smokers, you stink worse than a dumpster. Stop living in the Middle Ages and try an electronic cigarette today by Smokeless Image. Just go to tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke. They're cheaper than regular cigarettes, don't smell, and come in a variety of flavors like fruit, mint, and traditional tobacco flavors. Order your new electronic cigarettes from Smokeless Image today by going to tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke. That's tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke.
Have you ever wanted something so bad that you do just about anything for it? Well, that's exactly how we feel about you. That's right. AdamandEve.com wants you so bad. We're giving you 10 free gifts with your first order. You heard me right. That's 10 free gifts to spice up your love life. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, an adventurous toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. That's 10 free gifts for you shy types who've never tried Adam and Eve before. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, a sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code DEAL48. At checkout, and you'll get all 10 free gifts, including free shipping. That's offer code DEAL48. That's DEAL48 at adamandeve.com.
If you're sick and tired of getting pro wrestling only after it's gone through the PG filter, then it's time you were introduced to Combat Zone Wrestling. Celebrating 15 years of ultra-violence, Combat Zone Wrestling will give you all the high-stakes, high-flying, and hard-hitting pro wrestling you can handle. Check out their live event schedule, get information on their next iPay-per-view, skim the roster, or shop for CZW merch right now at czwrestling.com. That's czwrestling.com. No dance segments, no endless talk of downloading apps, just wrestling. Combat Zone Wrestling, the ultra-violent underground.
Talk Radio Meltdown.
He just wrote a song, put it on an album. The album came out, went to number one, and a few weeks later, he's like, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm gay, and if you want to know why, listen to this particular track.
Oh,
so everyone did, and they found out. It's like, oh, the song's apparently about how much he wants to fuck a dude. Okay. That's logical.
Well, with the verse like, I want a dick up my ass repeatedly with balls touching my bum.
Is that really the lyric? I'm not familiar with this band.
Talk Radio Meltdown every Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on morelikeradio.com.
What kind of store only has one thing on the shelf? T-Fury does. Now before you complain, listen to how it works. Each day a brand new t-shirt design becomes available for only 24 hours, then it's replaced by a new design the following day. They're all submitted by freelance artists too, so they're completely unique. They come in multiple colors and sizes, and they're all inspired by nerd and geek culture. And for only $11 per shirt, you can't go wrong. Check out today's limited edition design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTs. Bookmark it and check back daily for new designs at tinyurl.com/MLRTEES.
Tonight at 10, it's a tale of lust, seduction, and murder on Sexy Betrayals. Then at 7, some like their murder with a side of sexy biscuits on Southern Fried Homicide. But now, get ready for lust, betrayal, and murder on Hot Load Case Files.
Oh, yeah, 3 of the best shows in a row.
Is the lube over there?
Yeah, I got lube right here.
Well, get over here, big guy.
Yeah. What the hell? Yeah, hi, we aren't getting our informative murder porn? No, none of our channels that have informative murder porn appear to be working. Yeah, the screen just says, how do you tame a horse in Minecraft? Yes, we do have children. A what? A parental lock? Stan! How do you tame a horse in Minecraft?
What?
What is Minecraft and how do you tame a horse in it?
You guys don't need to be watching that stuff.
Oh, come on! You can't block your parents from watching informative murder porn! What, you think if we watch shows about married people killing each other all the time, we're going to go out and do it? That's stupid. I'm not going to go out and kill your mom just because I watch Investigative Discovery, Stan. It'd be impossible to clear away all the DNA evidence anyway. Even if I hired someone else to kill her, I'd have to kill that person too, because 96% of the time, that person eventually tells the truth. I've thought this through a lot. Stan, you're a lousy kid. I wish Jaden Smith was my son.
And welcome back to the second part of Antisocial Game Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. First bit of news that I have for you, I probably could have made a topic out of it, but it's a little bit of a big article, so I'll sort of read it. I mean, it's about a month old. I got some Games Radar. It's this, pre-order sales are tanking, but there's a way to make them appealing again. This is from, like, the October 7th, so, October. It's from the future. No, from August 7th, sorry, I'm afraid. This week's Activision CEO Eric Hirschberg told investors to reset expectations as it relates to pre-orders overall, and not just for his company. He says, you guys can see the same thing we see industry-wide, which is that there's been sort of a secular downturn in pre-orders. That might seem like an odd thing to happen, long thing to say, to say, given the number of Destinies supposedly pulling. But in the long run, Hirschberg appears to be right. If these estimations from 2010 versus 2014 are even slightly accurate, pre-orders aren't what they used to be. Thing is, though, many players are excited about just that. I mean, I know, you know, this is me talking now. I know, you know, Stuart Chickenlegs, he's... he's always excited about... you know, pre-orders and stuff like this, you know, because he'll, you know, get the special editions and stuff like this. Nuts for it. So scroll to the comment sections of any article about Hirschberg's remarks if you dare, and you will see, you'll find a sea of people who are happy to hear that the pre-order system may fall apart. Their reasons are numerous and caps locked, but scour through them and you'll start to see an interesting pattern emerge. Yes, many gamers are glad that pre-order numbers are shrinking so that they can see the whole thing fail. Why? Because they want revenge. It's no secret that there's a strong sense of dissatisfaction with pre-orders among the gaming crowd, which boils down to players feeling duped or patronised. These days, many pre-orders involve downloadable content like an in-game outfit or an extra mission, none of which you'll care about after 5 minutes of playing. Exactly, because, you know, costumes... That's the thing. Basically, they've got a picture here of Watch Dogs. I went, you know, because when I got enough money and whatever, I went to the shop and bought every single costume that I could get. I probably played in one or two different ones, but the rest of them, I had them, but I never really bothered changing into them. It was just something to have to, you know, so basically helped me to be my perfectionist self when it comes to sort of open world gaming. Extra mission. The game's full of fucking missions, that's the whole point. Unless it does something special for you, no one gives a shit. Somehow, a special gun that barely changes your overall experience seems like a pitiful reward for pledging $60 and good faith. This is usually forgivable when the game is good. You're getting to play an awesome title on day one, so any extra goodies are just a bonus. When the game's mediocre or outright bad, that's not blood coursing through your veins. It's condensed rage. Retailers can add insult to injury through chain exclusives content, which happened with like the Arkham games. You know, there was various different costumes you bought from Amazon or you bought from GameStop. You know, that sort of stuff. Throw in other problems like day one patches, launch DLC, and the fact that it's all probably be bundled in a complete edition mere months after release. Yeah, usually around Christmas time. At the point you're not sure which burns you worse, your fury or the game company. Exactly. But I was going to say something, but I'll carry on reading. But this is a really good article, actually. But yeah, I mean, that's what I was going to say. The fact that with Destiny now we're getting like Vanguard weapons and armor and stuff like that, which, well, you know, which will be help us in the beginning, but it'll probably be low-level stuff. I mean, I got some, I think it was like special guns with, I think with Borderlands 2, which were good for about a few seconds until I found something better. That's the thing. There's always something better out there when it comes to games that are basically, you know, like Borderlands or any sort of, you know, first-person shooter where you can get your own guns. It's like, yeah, I'm going to use this, but there'll be something better on later because that's what's supposed to be in the game. It's the whole point. That's the thing. It's trying to take what's in the game and put it outside. I think that's... I know what I'm trying to say, but it's just so... It's like, if this item was so good, why take it out of the game when, you know... Because it's the sort of thing. If it's a gun or a costume or stuff, unless it's pertinent to what you're playing, it's, you know, okay, I can't complete this game unless I have this DLC costume that I have to buy for $20 to help me finish the game. It's not important. This is what pissed me off with Sarcastic Game when they did the whole boycott of EA for the Battlefield Bad Company gun thing. It's like, yeah, you have these multiplayer guns, but there's other guns out there that are probably better than the ones you've already got. And you know, it's nice that they did the whole bitching and moaning stuff about it. But at the end of the day, as I said, many times on the show, they went and bought the fucking gold editions anyway, which basically null and voids everything they ever fucking do. But yeah, I mean, the pre-order stuff, it's not something that's a real worry to me. I mean, I'll pre-order stuff. I mean, trust me, the best thing I actually pre-ordered, I think, would be Destiny, because I have access to the beta. But I don't know. We'll wait and see. But yeah, sorry, I'll carry on with this. All the blood, the bad blood accumulates in a lot of anger among gamers, but quietly saving your money for the bargain bit doesn't feel like enough. Publishers stand to gain a lot from pre-orders because it's not only money in the bank, it's free market research into the profitability of a potential sequel and merchandising. Gamers expect something equally valuable in return, not just our money, but for our trust. So when a game company puts out a shoddy product, re-engaging on the end, on their end of the deal and running away with your hard-earned cash, it's hard to just shrug and move on. No, you feel cheated and duped, and you want to see the company fail. And what better way than for the system to crumble beneath them? If game companies want to keep this lucrative ship afloat, they'll need to present something better than what's on offer. Oh, excuse me, sorry, I'm just burping like crazy. What's that one? So I'm just sort of looking at this picture I'm seeing. Yes, luckily that may not be so difficult. The main issue is that digital bells and whistles are a poor payoff to justify a pre-order. Leaving consumers feeling played and willing to buy, but they're also willing to flash their wallets for special editions. For example, the Destiny Ghost Edition has sold so well that retailers haven't been able to meet demand. Well, that's their fault, to be honest. It's like, yeah, we have, like I said, like 2,000 gold editions, ghost editions of Destiny, and they should have like a limit on it. It's like, yeah, okay, we've sold this many, now we can't sell anymore because they're out of stock. And that's pretty much what you do. and sets are going for up to 7 times their original value on eBay. It doesn't fucking matter. That's me. Even at prices that more than double the cost of the base game, collector's editions still sell, thanks entirely to the associated swag, learning, for example, that it could do a lot to fix the pre-order problem. While no one wants to pre-orders to jump to $150, which, if you're a mug, if you pay that sort of shit, so they can include a sick evolve monster statue, well, maybe not, no one, adding physical tokens at no extra cost could do a lot to revitalize the system. I'm talking things like Dishonored's tarot deck, which I got, actually, yeah. Was it 2 Christmases ago? Yeah, I got the Dishonored Special Edition with the tarot deck, which I have, and I've never fucking opened. Or Skyrim's very classy world map. They aren't super expensive to produce, and often, well, I mean, yeah, of course not. The deck, card deck stuff, I mean, you know, we gave, Was it the More Like Radio themed, what's that card game? Cards Against Humanity? you know, we've made a bunch of them up. While such trinkets won't make up for a crappy game, they're much more interested in than the lackluster in-game costumes or starter items. Plus, they're more likely to keep consumers happy, which is really the end goal. Where was I? Yeah, here we go. The pre-order system can be a win-win setup when used correctly. Right now, it's structured to give publishers and retailers maximum payout for minimum effort, and bad blood keeps players' purse strings pulled tight. There will always be hurt feelings when a pre-order game turns out to be schlock. But the entire notion of pre-ordering doesn't have to suffer for it. Take away the nickel and diming digital content, stop pushing for forgettable bonuses, and give players something tangible for their trouble. If publishers do that, they could go a long way looking towards saving a business practice that dramatically benefits them. It's all about respecting our customers, give them what they want, and they'll do the same for you, back scratching and all that. I agree, but I don't really know. I mean, as a consumer and customer, and basically the target of, you know, I mean, you know, everyone listening to this is basically the target for this sort of stuff. What do we want as pre-order items? I mean, as I said, starter items, that's okay, but, you know, Destiny, I mean, yes, I'm going to get better guns halfway through the game, so I don't really need these ones. I mean, that happened with me with Borderlands, like I said. Maybe for RPGs, like potions and stuff like this, but I can't really see anything being useful, to be honest, from what they're trying to say, what they want to give us as pre-order items, but It's a to and fro sort of argument and to and fro sort of thing when it comes to pre-order items. Like, yeah, you're putting something, unless it's useful, then it's good. If it's not useful, then it doesn't really matter, because if the game's good enough, people will buy the game for what the game is. I mean, Destiny, it's an amazing game, and the Ghost Edition's got some bits and pieces that people like, and which is why it's selling out, because they know this game is going to be so good, they want to go in fully decked out with every damn thing. And, you know, with me and several other people who pre-order the game, we're going to get the Vanguard weapons. I have no idea what level they will be able to use at, but probably just starter items, like I said. If they benefit what I have at the beginning, then I'll use them. If they don't, then I'll just basically, you know, disintegrate them and use them to make up some money to help me pay for my, you know, Wicked Spaceship and Sparrow stuff. I don't know. Here we go. This is got this before the show really just started. There's been a whole bunch of stuff going on with the industry, with the games industry and this sort of stuff. I got this from GameSpot. It says, end the hate, says industry in open letter to fans. Developers from Rockstar to Naughty Dog signed a petition seeking to promote diversity and tolerance. Hundreds of developers spanning the US and Europe have endorsed an open letter asking the games community to curb hate speech and online abuse across social media sites like Twitter and Reddit. This letter, written by independent games designer Andreas Zercher, has been signed by hundreds of developers, AAA studios and indies, including Rockstar, Naughty Dog, Bungie, 343 Studios, 343 Industries, Blizzard Entertainment and Epic Games. Support for Zercher's letter comes in the wake of a spate of personal attacks on games industry figures across social media. For instance, last week, games analyst Anita Sarkeesian, what if there's any relation, was forced to vacate her home after receiving increasingly severe anonymous threats on Twitter. Okay, you're being threatened across the internet. You turn off your fucking computer. If someone, literally, if you're being threatened on the internet, cyberbullying and all that bullshit, you have to have a really thick skin if you, you know, you must have a really weak skin if you think someone's going to, you know, attack you on Twitter about certain things. I mean, I've been attacked several times. I've done some attacking myself, but I wouldn't never do anything in real life. It's all internet bullshit. That's all it is. But okay, Robin, those who backed the letter have done so independently and not necessarily as representatives for the companies they work for. It's a statement here. We believe that everyone, no matter what gender, sexual orientation, ethnicity or religion, has the right to play games. This is from the guy's letter. Our religion has the right to play games, criticize games, and make games without getting harassed or threatened. It's the diversity of our community that allows gamers to flourish. If you see threats of violence or harm in the comments on Steam, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, Facebook or Reddit, please take a minute to report them on the respective sites. If you see hate speech harassing people, take a public stand against it and make the gaming community a more enjoyable place to be in. But this is so, it's just such a bullshit thing to do. I think it's all down to the whole, what the hell's, you know, what's going on with the whole, Kotaku, dick sucking thing. And everyone gets hate. That's the whole point. It's like, people need to grow up. They really do. Because this is such a non-issue. Everyone hates on everything. It's the whole point. It's the internet. We hate on stuff all the damn time. It's our free will as humanity, as humans. It's like, yeah, we can say what we want. We can do what we want. If we don't like it, we're going to fucking say it. That's the whole point. If you don't like it, say it. I mean, how many times have, this is, a childhood reference. How many times have, you've eaten something and, your parents may feel, I don't like this, just fucking say it, And they go about, sexual orientation, ethnicity, religion. I mean, it feels like the credits to a fucking Ubisoft game. But yeah, it's just so stupid, all this bullshit that's going on at the moment. Just everyone, make your fucking games. And I mean, it's such a... I need to get in touch with this guy and have a word with him, because he needs a fucking talking to. It really does. But yeah, this whole thing is so bullshit. It really is. I think I have something else on this as well. I'm not too sure. One second. I'm just sort of looking through my show prep. No, I thought I did. I don't, apparently. Sorry about that. But I'll move on, because this whole, in the hate... Yeah, I'm trying to... We might as well just gone with that. What was it? Don't Say Bossy campaign that fucking Ben Affleck's vagina was talking about. It's just... Yeah, shut up. It's just stupid bullshit. Just get on with your fucking lives. Stop worrying about all this other crap. Focus on your job and make me some fucking games, you motherfuckers. Because I want something to play, because I'm sitting here bored. I'm playing Metro. It's great. I want some new stuff. Give me some games. Make some games. Stop worrying about hate and sexual orientation, because at the end of the day, nobody gives a fucking shit. I mean, I half the times I have arguments with people, I forget them the next day, because to be honest, I don't give a shit. It's old stuff. We live for today, not for yesterday. And you're worrying about all this sort of bullshit? Seriously, focus on making games. Stop worrying about all this other shit. Just get on with your fucking job, because we're the ones who are putting money in your pockets. Just get on with your damn job, lazy motherfuckers. Drawing attention to yourselves. Speaking of drawing attention to themselves, I got this from CVG. Take-Two and Rockstar Games say Lindsay Lohan's lawsuit for allegedly misappropriating her image for Grand Theft Auto V was more of a bid for media attention than a legitimate complaint. Well, no shit. The Associated Press reports that filings from the companies call the case frivolous and that it was filed for publicity purposes. Yes, because it's not 2002 and no one gives a shit about Lindsay Lohan anymore, because she's a fucked up junkie who needs to fall down in a bathtub. But Take-Two and Rockstar are seeking a dismissal after and for Lohan to pay all associated legal fees. Well, that'd be good, because she has no fucking money, because I love this. The actress, she hasn't acted anything decent in years, and even what she was in was terrible. The actress suit filed in July claims that the Lacey Jonas character, who appears in a mission where players must help her avoid the paparazzi, was modelled after Lohan without her permission. I don't remember that mission. Was that the one where she's getting fucked up the arse? I don't know. I mean, it claims Lohan's image, voice, even style for her clothing line are depicted. Are you fucking shitting me? Nobody likes Lindsay Lohan's clothing line. She came out with the whole clothing line on a catwalk. I've seen the video. And she got booed off the fucking stage. Inspired his mission into the version of the Chateau Marmont Hotel in West Hollywood, where Lohan once stayed. Take-Two says her likeness has not been used and that Jonas' character resembles her only insofar as they both are both young blonde women, which is bullshit because Lindsay Lohan is a ginger. Yeah, she's a ginger. She's not blonde. She's a ginger. More than 34 million copies of Grand Theft Auto have been shipped since the day, since the game's release for PlayStation. Wow, it's been a year, and it's shipped 34 million copies. That's pretty fucking good. And we're going to get a remastered version, and that's going to ship even more copies. But yeah, this whole fucking bullshit with Lindsay Lohan, she's such a useless cunt. Really is. Seriously needs to fall down in the fucking bathtub. Or be kicked down a flight of stairs. Useless arsehole. I hate people like this. Attention-seeking arseholes. Really are. As I talked about this at the beginning, because I've been playing it, PlayStation's... this is from IGN. PlayStation 4's PT Silent Hills demo downloaded over a million times. Yeah, it was revealed at the Tokyo Game Show that it was, you know, it was downloaded. Of course, part of the mystery of PT, at least initially, was that it was randomly uploaded to PlayStation Network during Sony's Gamescom press conference. Though it wasn't clear that it had anything to do with Silent Hill or Hills (plural) as the title of Kojima's upcoming movie. Says the popularity likely ramped up when everyone heard about the Silent Hill connection, as well as the fact that Guillermo del Toro is collaborating with Kojima on the project. Geez, I better have Ron Perlman in this. The other interesting feature of PT is that it's incredibly difficult. No, it's incredibly fucking boring. Difficult is easy. Just get yourself a guide, like I did. Notoriously so, even if you're having trouble with the infamous final puzzle in particular, we may be able to help you. Yeah, yeah, I know, I got the guide from you, IGN. Thank you very much. But yeah, I say, you know, download it, play it in the dark. It'll scare the shit out of you like it did me. It's really, really good, basically. That's all I can say. Where was I? Yep. Here we go, yeah. This might be what I'm after. Yeah, it's from CBG. Destiny's trailer shows off PlayStation-only content. Bonus content heading to PlayStation versions. Bungie has revealed... a new Destiny trailer, which I have posted on the Facebook group, on the Facebook page for the show, offering another glimpse of the exclusive bonus content coming to PlayStation versions of the game. As previously announced, Destiny on PlayStation 3 and 4 will contain exclusive bonus content, including a new co-op strike mission set on Mars. If I could do an Arnold impression, it'd be great right now. An additional competitive multiplayer map and a selection of exclusive guns, gear, and ships. Yay. But to be honest, as I say... Oh, excuse me again. I apologise. Go back to where I was. Yeah. Exclusive guns, yeah, until you get better. I mean, we talked about this with the fucking pre-order stuff. Gear and ships. Now, the ships are purely... unless it's a Sparrow... when, you know, some of them are faster than the others, but the actual ships you fly around in, they're purely aesthetic. There's no space combat, which would be awesome if it was. There's no space combat involved. It's just basically, I want the best looking ship and let's see what it does. I mean, I know I'll be, once I'm sort of done most, not most of the missions, but a fair amount of missions, I'll be just sort of going through the main multi, you know, bits and pieces missions that I can sort of replay over and over again, the sort of free world stuff. I'll be just sort of trying to earn enough money to, you know, get all the equipment I want and, all the money that I want to pay for all the new ships. PlayStation gamers will get exclusive gear, including Manifold Seeker armor for Warlocks, the Veneer armor for Titans, yay, go Titans, and the Argus Weaver for Hunters. In addition, an exotic assault rifle called the Monte Carlo and the Hawkmoon hand cannon, nice. Along with three ships, the Aurora Wake, the Crypt Hammer, and the Outrageous Fortune will be PlayStation exclusive. But Destiny's, it's a week away. I can't wait. Just got a few more days at work, a weekend off, you know, knock out, you know, both of the Metro games, and Destiny will be in my hands, pretty much. Give or take. Let's find something else to talk to you a lot about. It's actually a good week for topics. I found various stuff from various people. Here we go. Yeah, let's do something from Nintendo, because I haven't done anything from them for a little while. Nintendo announces new 3DS models. Upgraded hardware includes new control stick and improved 3D, which I don't use the 3D. Just, you know, whatever. Nintendo has announced upgraded versions, blah, 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 blah. Referred to simply as the new 3DS and new 3DS XL. The systems will be coming to Japan this year in this year and in Europe and North America in 2015, and feature a number of new improvements over the current models. Both models include a new second analog stick, an extra ZR and ZL shoulder buttons, essentially adding the functionality of a Circle Pad Pro add-on. It also reduces the ghosting effects produced when players move their heads away from the 3D sweet spot while playing in 3D by using the handheld camera to track the player's head and adjust images accordingly. The system also supports NFC on the button screen, allowing amiibo figures to read without the need for another accessory. As well as the coloured face buttons, which hark back to the days of the SNES controller and a micro SD slot replacing the standard SD slot, the new 3DS has a new CPU, which will lead to faster OS processing, which would be great because I do feel like, you know, my Pikachu 3DS is busted to all hell, and that's why I'm trying to sort of get rid of my Pokemon stuff as quick as possible. That way I can, just sort of buy a new 3DS. And I mean, I have my 2DS, but I never use that for anything apart from trading. But this new 3DS XL looks pretty sweet. Yeah, so the new 3DS and 3DS XL launch on October 11th in Japan at a price of 16,000 yen, which is about £90, $150. For the standard 3DS, it's about 18,000. That's for the 3DS, the standard 3DS, and it's 18,000 yen, which is £108 and $180 for the XL version. Okie dokie. The smaller new 3DS will also support custom faceplates. Nintendo confirms some 40 different versions have been showcased for Japan, as you can see in the gallery below. You can't because you're listening to this, but I say recommend going to look on CVG and finding out, and you'll see them. A Western release date has yet to be confirmed, but CVG reached out to Nintendo and received the following statements confirming a 2015 release for the West. Different territories make their own businesses' decisions regarding individual products and timing. We plan to launch these products in Europe in 2015. We have a variety of compelling portable gaming options for consumers now, and though the Christmas shopping season, including a variety of different Nintendo 2DS and Nintendo 3DS XL bundles at retail, we also have a strong library of hundreds of games for these systems that appeal to all kinds of players, with titles like Super Smash Bros. For the Nintendo 3DS, Pokemon Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire are still on the way before the end of the year. Just look at these new faceplates. You know, they've got Mario, Luigi, Peach, Yoshi. There's several different color ones. It's like, you know, pretty much like my Pikachu one, but like ones with polka dots and stuff like that. Different colored ones. The ones with the mushrooms on it. Some sort of Animal Crossing ones. Is there any Pokemon ones? Fuck that then. There's basically new 3DS. It looks pretty sweet. I know once my 3DS XL takes a big shit on me, I will be buying this. Some more stuff from Nintendo. Nintendo of Europe restructuring cuts 320 jobs. Nintendo of Europe has ended the contracts of 190 temp workers at its European localization department, and effectively extended the number of layoffs announced in June to 320 employees. Nintendo confirmed in June that it would close its European headquarters in Grobsdeam and relocate to Frankfurt. It would terminate about 130 permanent employees by the end of August as part of their process. According to a statement provided by Kotaku, the restructuring also meant the end of 190 more temporary localization jobs. As a separate measure, Nintendo of Europe is recognizing its European localization development department, reorganizing, where it currently uses a number of temporary agency workers in transition and testing activities. In order to increase flexibility and cost effectively in the long term, the statement read, it is intended that there will be an increase in outsourcing future translation and test activities to third-party companies on an as-needed basis. And very sadly, this has meant that ended the contracts of 190 temporary agency workers who were formally notified of this decision in June. Despite the temporary status, those employees worked exclusively for Nintendo, many of whom had reportedly done so for years. And basically, because Nintendo isn't the powerhouse it used to be. The games are stale, no one's buying your console, and it's sad for these people who've lost their jobs, it really is. But it's just the way of the world. But yeah, final bit of Nintendo news. Miyamoto explains Nintendo's renewed passion for the core. Famed designer outlines vision in comprehensive interview with Edge magazine. I like Miyamoto. He's a dickhead, but I just want to punch him in the head. I do like him, but he's just sort of one of those guys you want to punch. It's like, yeah, your company's going to shit, but you're still smiling about how your company's going to shit. It's just, you know. All these ideas that he's created, you know, he's made Nintendo what it is. Nintendo has re-energized its ambition to entertain, and it's mostly passionate fans as opposed to catering to for the widest possible market, according to new statements made by one of its senior executives. Speaking in the latest issue of Edge magazine, which goes on, no one gives a shit. Miyamoto said his team does not want to focus on making content for people who passively enjoy games. Then why did you make the Wii U? These are the sort of people who, for example, might want to watch a movie. They might want to go to Disneyland, he said. Their attitude is, okay, I am the customer. Who you were supposed to entertain me. It's a kind of passive attitude they're taking. And to me, it's kind of a pathetic thing. They do not know how interesting it is if you move one step further and try to challenge yourself with some more advanced games. Well, motherfucker, please. Are you kidding me with this shit? You're Nintendo. You have Mario. You have Donkey Kong. You spun Mario into every different sports game going. I'm surprised Mario doesn't have a fucking lacrosse game. And you're saying about people about being passive attitude, they're pathetic. Are you fucking shitting me, you dumb motherfucker? I don't get this. I really don't. Now I really want to punch this guy. How can people be so stupid? And this, you know, he's so full of shit. Miyamoto's comments mark the first time a Nintendo executive and long-standing member of its on its board of directors has publicly outlined intentions to shift away from casual customers. That's nice that you're doing that, but the fact is that it's a little bit too little, too late. You should have done this 5-10 years ago. It's like, yeah, because all you have is basically, you know, regular listeners will know. I keep going over this list. It's Mario, you've got Zelda, you've got Donkey Kong, Mario Kart. Anything with a Mario on it, that's your casual gamers. Those are the ones buying it. I mean, those are the casual gamers are the ones who bought the Wii. And not even those casual gamers bothered to buy the Wii U. That's how much they gave a shit about your Wii U. It's useless. It's pathetic. It's a waste of fucking money. It's a pain in the ass. Nintendo's trend-setting... Wii console which shipped in 2006, reached 100 million sales after triggering a frenzy of interest among people who are not typically considered games enthusiasts. Titles such as Wii Sports, Wii Fit, and Wii Music, the latter which was designed by Miyamoto, of course it was because it was shit, were marketed as games for everyone and sold tens of millions of units across the world. Of course, because people are fucking stupid and they will buy this useless piece of shit. Wii Sports was a pack-in. I see it all the time, the most profitable games in history, and on Games Radar do the fucking thing, they put a Wii Sports. It doesn't count because it's a pack-in. You might as well just say the demo one disc that we got with the original PlayStation, that might as well be the same fucking thing. But yeah, Wii Fit, no, fuck off. Go get your scales and do some exercising, you lazy bastards. A Wii Music, seriously? That was a joke. This is back when I was listening to all the gaming podcasts. Everyone was laughing at fucking Wii Music. You know, useless bastards. Yet the Wii U has not managed to recruit that winning formula, having sold about 7 million units since its launch Having sold about 7 million units since its launch in November 2012, really 2 years and 7 million units. Are you shitting me with this? In an age where Apple and Android smartphones have become the leading games platforms for the casual audience, Miyamoto says Nintendo no longer needs to reach out to these consumers. Customers. In the days of the DS and Wii, Nintendo tried its best to expand the gaming population, he says. Fortunately, because of the spread of smart devices, people take games for granted now. No, of course. Fuck off. No, we don't. Games are more popular than ever. What fucking world is he living in? Really? I mean, everyone plays games these days, whether it be Facebook games. I mean, I know I've said this before many a time. Everyone plays games, be it Facebook games, fucking Solitaire, Minesweeper. You play some games on your PC, your handheld devices. Everyone plays games these days. It's the most popular thing to do ever, really. Because we don't have to worry about making... Fortunately, because the spread of smart devices, people take games for granted now. It's a good thing for us because we do not have to worry about making games something that are relevant to general people's daily lives. Edge Magazine's exclusive interview with Miyamoto comes as part of a wider feature on Nintendo, which, with the publication visiting its new R&D offices in Kyoto, is speaking to developers behind every major upcoming Wii U game, six of them. Among the broad range of topics discussed with Miyamoto, the famed games... Fuck off. Explains how Splatoon was nearly a Mario title. Yeah, whatever. But Splatoon looks actually, from what I've heard, it's pretty really good. Why he believes Nintendo should not abandon hardware? Well, if you do, what am I going to do with Pokemon? As well as its expanding on previous comments made at E3 regarding what he perceives as creative immunity, immaturity within the development sector. He's also asked about the inherent challenges of playing games on both the TV and the Wii U's touch screen gamepad, a hardware design choice which has been routinely questioned within the industry. Of course, we had some concerns, Miyamoto says. After all, we're human beings. Our eyes cannot see two objects at the same time. But we were sure that even with that kind of... that's why we never look down at the controller when we're playing computer games, because we have the muscle memory and we've played it long enough that it just gets stuck. We know what buttons to press and to do what certain things because we played the game long enough. But we were sure that even with that kind of, weak point, we should be able to make something unprecedented and revolutionary. But it wasn't. You were trying to make an iPad for Nintendo. That's all you were doing. Just fucking come out and say it. It's supposed to be Nintendo's version of the iPad. They wanted a fucking tablet. You have the 3DS. That's all you need. Just make a fucking console with a controller, a proper controller that fits in the side of your hand, in the palm of your hand, not something you need two hands for. And, to hold that is not news. But this guy's so full of shit. He is so blind to everything around him that's going on. He just has no clue. This is why he's such a moron. Here we go. Talking about morons. Some stuff from Microsoft. Rare will be an important part of our future, says Xbox boss. UK studio thinking about the next game. Xbox head Phil Spencer has backed Kinect Sports rival studio Rare. Yeah, I wouldn't. I know Rare. You know Rare. You wouldn't. Rare's not the sort of studio you actually say, yeah, Rare, the people who brought us Kinect Sports Rivals. No, it's fucking Killer Instinct and all that other shit they brought us. Just kicking the fucking microphone. The developer says, should, can, and will be an important part of Xbox's future. Earlier this year, it was revealed that Rare was evaluating its future projects after Microsoft's decision to start shipping a new Kinectless Xbox One package at a reduced price. But yeah, because you want people to buy your console, and people didn't want to buy a camera. Like I said, nobody wants to buy a fucking camera for a console. I mean, I have. What do I use a camera for? What the fuck am I using a camera for? I have a controller. Let me use a controller. I'm waiting for 10 years down the line when Nintendo tries to break out their own camera device unit to try and compete, even though by then, Xbox and PlayStation would have dropped that fucking thing like a bad habit. It was later confirmed that Rare had suffered a number of high-profile redundancies following Microsoft's decision to change the development process at the UK studio. Speaking to CVG at Gamescom, Xbox boss Phil Spencer confirmed the UK studio is already working on a new project. He says, I'm a Rare fan from the N64 days. Yes, see? There's so many good games they made for the N64 you can make instead of Kinect Sports Rivals. That's kind of where my relationship was then with them was built. So was everyone else's. The range of genres that Rare exceeded at on N64 was crazy. You go from GoldenEye. See? GoldenEye. That's what you associate Rare with. GoldenEye. Not fucking Kinect Sports Rivals. It makes them look like a fucking joke. To Conker and Banjo, Diddy Kong Racing. They're all over the place and they nailed a wide variety of genres. Of course they did, because it was Rare. So I don't see them as a certain genre studio. Of course not. Their strength has always been in their diversity. When they came to the Xbox, we did Grabbed by the Ghoulies and the Conker remake. They didn't have tremendous success. It's hard trying to say that with a straight face. But I think they were fun games. Yeah, no one else did though. Then they started building out the avatars. That was really their work. And then, frankly, Kinect, which they were innovating with before we'd even decided we were going to do something like that. No one gives a fuck about Kinect, so fuck you. They actually built this kind of one thing on their... Hang on, whoa. They actually built this kind of one thing on their own before the Wii U came out. Yeah, I know. So did PlayStation, apparently. But, well, let's see how that went. The Xbox Xbox head conceded that from the outside, it could seem like Rare, which has now worked on 3 Kinect games in a row, had been pushed into spaces by the platform holder, but insisted the UK studio was actually chasing innovation. Not really. Yes. I mean, it's nice that they want the Kinect to be innovative, but it's Rare. Just let them make games. Don't make them make this bullshit where you have to jump around. I mean, I've started doing these new exercises, which is another reason why I'm tired. I couldn't do jumping jacks in my flat. I'm living in a first-floor flat. I mean, I'm 6'4". If I started doing jumping jacks, I'd crash through the fucking floor. Right now with Rare, we're at a point where I don't want the Rare brand to mean Kinect Sports. No one wants the Rare brand to mean Kinect Sports. The Rare brand can be more valuable to them, to us, and to gamers than that. I think it's about take them off the fucking Kinect. Stop making them make Kinect games. I think it's about them thinking about the next game they're going to be. Oh, for fuck's sake. I'll skip that because he's rambling on the same shit, and I'm rambling because of his rambling. He says, I know they've got some good ideas. I've been up to the Ticross for maybe 6 months, but I'm planning on getting up there this fall and seeing bits for the new game. But I don't know that. I know they're hard at work with Phil Harrison. I know they're hard at work, and Phil Harrison has been up there talking to them. So they've got some new ideas. They're excited about them, and I think Rare can and will be important for our part of the game in future. I'm looking forward to seeing this game. Hopefully it's not another fucking stupid Kinect game, because is anyone using a Kinect at the moment? Yeah, I'd love to know, because what a piece of shit useless thing fucking Kinect is. It really is. Let's find one more article to wrap the show up with, because I'm running out of time and I've still got tons more to talk about. Here we go. Yeah, do this quickly. JJ will love this. This is from CVG. Evolve beta coming exclusively to Xbox One in January. DLC also coming first to Microsoft's console. See, Destiny goes with the PlayStation and Evolve goes with the Xbox. Oh well, same for both people. The beta for Evolve will be coming exclusively to Xbox One in January. Microsoft announced on Tuesday during its Gamescom press conference, a couple of weeks old. It also confirmed that the premium downloadable content will also be released first on Xbox One. Bleeding cooperative and competitive multiplayer experiences as a team of 4 hunters face off against a single-player controlled monster on an alien planet in the distant future. Evolve is the latest game from Turtle Rock Studios, the co-creators of Left 4 Dead. So basically, it's Left 4 Dead 3, but with aliens and shit. The game will launch with multiple monsters, hunters, game modes, and more than a dozen maps. I really want to be excited for this game, but I can't see it taking a lot of my interest away from whatever it is I'll be playing sometime next year. Probably still Destiny with the DLC that's coming out in December. But
I've got time. Let's do another article. Try and find something else. Oh, here we go. Here. Metal Slug 3 Blast to play at PSN this winter. Neo Geo Classic shooter coming to PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, and Vita. Metal Slug 3 is a much-loved chaotic scrolling shooter. Is coming to PlayStation consoles via the PS Store, and Sony and SNK Playmore have announced. Just this winter. Pretty much the same shit I just read in the headline. They're just repeating over it. It's a very fucking short article. But yeah, I'm a big fan of the Metal Slug series. I've been to several different arcades and played various Metal Slug games. I mean, they're pretty much all the same, but they are so much fun because of, what you get to do. This pretty much wraps up the show for this week. Thank you, everyone, for listening, for tuning in, everyone in the chat. I can see you all there. I'd say it's just been a good show this week. I'm not too sure what the topic for next week is, but no doubt I'll probably find some article and think about it. But I say, Destiny's out next week. I've been talking that long enough for the past couple of months. I can't wait. That was the bad thing about, when I was in the States. It's like, yep, when I come back, I'll be playing Destiny. But the thing is, I've got to wait, for Destiny, and I've got to get through the live event. And it's like, annoying. It really was. So coming up next is Alcohol by Volume, which is going to be a repeat, I believe, this week. But then you have My Time Now with Sir Darkside, Johnny Five. And then after that, it's Hiatus and Royce. But don't forget, you can listen to the show live every Tuesday at 9 p.m. UK time, at 4 p.m. Eastern. You want to get yourself in the chat, join everyone else that's in here right now. You go to morelightradio.com/live. If you want to go to, find out about the shows, go to morelightradio.com. Go there, find out about us, get in touch with us. Must say, if you do want to email the show, it's antisocialgamerradio@yahoo.co.uk. You want to join the Facebook group, it's facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. Join our Facebook page, like our Facebook page rather. It's facebook.com/antisocialgamerradio. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at MLRGamerRadio. Don't forget, go to morelightradio.com on iTunes. Leave us a review. You can listen to us various different places. You want to download the older shows, go to morelightradio.org. And literally a whole back catalogue of the past two and a half years now is up there. Download anything you want, that's pretty much it for me. I'm pretty tired and need a good rest. I've been working all day, literally, and I'm just sort of exhausted. Thanks for everyone for listening. And I will see you lot next week, same time, same place. Take care, people. Bye.
Actually brought anything to the table?
God, what a bag of burden that British piece of shit was. Holy shit.
A woman can pilot.
From everyone here at BBC Radio 4, this is Alice Arnold, hoping that you sleep well and wishing you a very good night. Good night.
The area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking north at Sierra, south at Sierra, south or southwest, or northwest, or northeast or east. Occasional rain, wintry showers, occasional rain, rain or showers, occasional rain, moderate or poor, becoming moderate.